Welcome back to part two. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira.
You know, many times I've mentioned strategies of our enemy, and I think our enemy has inspired the food industry the last 6 or 7 decades to start making our foods atrocious. About probably 55 to 60% of things we buy in the grocery store is worthless, our children. You know, how many of us have given our children cereals that basically is a sugar block? And so our bodies get out of whack from the beginning dealing with sugar, and it's sugar overload. And then we have obesity. And then one of the ways we can have diabetes is we weigh too much as a people. And then there's not enough insulin that our pancreas are making that can go around to help our entire body. And so one of the things that a diabetes nurse will do, or a dietitian will do, is try to help a person lower their body weight as a frontline through nutrition, exercise, and various other things. So I think it's but a couple thousand things that our enemy is doing constantly, disrupting our food intake and polluting it, and you know, creating it to be carbohydrate based rather than a healthy, balanced diet. You know, the more carbohydrates we eat, the more we want, and the more dysfunctional our body gets, and therefore has a negative impact on our mental health. But Joseph mentioned thyroid. That is a very important thing, too. I don't know the source, but I'm going to quote a statistic. Joseph's probably heard it a number of times. But 38% of Americans who have anxiety and depression, 38%. That's, I don't know what we're up to now, Joseph, 300 something million. That's 100, 120 million Americans have a thyroid problem. Wow. And so that is causing our anxiety and depression. Now, I don't know what's contributing to the hypo and the hyperthyroidism, but it is. And it's like Joseph mentioned, it really disrupts a person's behavior and emotional patterns. My mom has a hyperthyroidism problem that she discovered about a week ago. And her personality is changing a little bit, not because she wants it to or she has a mental health problem. She has a physiological contribution. So she's getting that regulated and so on. She's not a tirade person or anything. But isn't that amazing? Over 120 million Americans. And I've even talked to people and they, oh, how'd you know? I knew it wasn't in my head, but my doctor wouldn't. And it takes more than going to a general physician or a family doctor, because they're only doing tests on certain aspects of the thyroid instead of the full panel. And I'm not going to go mentioning the different aspects of that panel because I'm not an endocrinologist, but one might need a endocrinologist to check these out. A general physician will do a blood assay, or you'll go to a phlebotomist or in their practice, or go to a LabCorp type company or something. And there's other companies. I'm not just advertising LabCorp. And the doctor will get the results and they'll say, hey, your thyroid's doing fine. Well, it may not be. They're only testing one aspect of your thyroid and there's 10 other aspects. And so an endocrinologist would have the ability and the know-how to do that. And it's amazing. And if it's happening to us, well, it may not be happening the same proportion to a lot of the other countries, because they probably don't eat as much trash as we do, or there may not be as many contributing factors. But that's terrible. These people are having the anxiety and depression. And again, when I reveal that to people and they have those things ruled in or ruled out, a lot of times they find out that it is contributing and it's a weight off of their shoulders because they know it's not mental health.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I think the devil would have us chasing our tails in exhaustion and not knowing what is causing these things, so he can totally just wear us out rather than going to the truth of the matter. So, again, as Joseph mentioned, that's one of the basic things we do on our team, is to try to encourage people to get those physical examinations, thorough physical examinations.
I'm curious if either of you know anything about thyroid nodules.
I don't. Joseph, you may.
No, I don't. So what is a thyroid nodule?
So they're growths that show up on the thyroid. I'm just wondering, they're not always cancerous. I'm just wondering if you knew what drove them, drove the body to create a nodule in the first place. So I know, I'm always amazed at what you guys do know. So, I got to throw those questions out sometimes. So I'm throwing it to you now, Joseph. Okay. I just wondered if you had
that's a great question because I'm thankful for the internet. I'm thankful that we have experts and people who are hyper-focused on certain areas. You know, we can't do that. and so I do want to say, if you're listening, please, please see a doctor, somebody who's specialized in these types of things. Don't take everything we say as gospel.
Amen. Medical advice, go see your doctor.
Right. Yeah. But also I'm glad that we have the ability to look things up. And I noticed that when I was looking up thyroid problems, one of the things that it says is that here's a common mental health symptom by condition. If you have hypothyroidism, you could be dealing with depression, fatigue, memory issues, irritability, mental fogginess, apathy, hyperthyroidism. You have anxiety, nervousness, insomnia, emotional volatility, panic attacks, or rapid mood swings. I mean, I saw a lot of that. And so those things, I always use a car as an example because I wanted to be a mechanic early on in life. And I took some classes. I work on my own cars. I diagnose them, but they're, those types, I like to use those as examples, but if there's a problem in your vehicle, you may not notice it right away, but you have these lights that start flashing. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's saying, hey, there's an issue. We have the same thing going on in our body. We have to be in tune with it. We have to understand it. And so if there's a problem, you're like, all of a sudden I feel irritable. It must be my husband. It must be my wife, right? Yeah. Really? Is it? Or is it that you feel irritable at the time and they're doing something you don't like? Or your children are bugging you? Or somebody looked at you the wrong way. Okay. We need to stop looking at other people as being the problem and start with ourselves first. As I learned how to troubleshoot, whether it was cars, telephones, electronics, anything, I need to run through a diagnostic list and say, okay, I'm going to start here. And then I'm going to move on to the next thing. Number one, we need to start with ourselves. We need to start looking at ourselves first and run through all the diagnostics. That means the physical health of us and seeing if there's any issues physically within our own bodies. You know, there's a funny video that I saw. Some of you guys would know, and it's called The Nail. And this woman has a nail sticking out of her forehead, and she's telling her boyfriend or husband all her troubles, and he's looking at the nail going, do you realize you have stop talking about the nail. It's not the nail. And she starts going through all these things. And the humor of it is that she needed somebody to talk to tell her about her pain. And the guy's looking at it going, I see what it actually is, and we could take care of it. And she's like, stop trying to fix it. Stop trying to fix it. Right. And in the humor of it is, it's true, because sometimes what we do is somebody sees something that's going on. Hey, why are you eating that? Why are you drinking that? That's not the problem. My problem is that I have all these things that are going on in my life. I feel depressed. I have all, it's like, no. I'm watching you try to fight these things and you're expecting a different result. and they don't want to hear it. We need to stop doing that to ourselves. And we actually have to start looking at ourselves as being the problem first. Go for a checkup. Make sure that we're, you know, getting proper sleep. Make sure that we're doing all these things before we start looking outwards at other people as being the problem.
So well said. And, you know, something back to something that Kevin touched on, and that is, you know, the foods, you know, that's available to us, you know. And, you know, listener, we're not telling you anything you don't already know, but it bears repeating again and again and again. And, you know, what we know is that if it comes in a box, it's usually hyper palatable. You know, these scientists, you know, have created these foods. They're called, they're Frankenfoods, and they are meant to hit all the dopamine sensors. They're meant, you know, to hook you and to keep you eating. And it's such an unfair advantage, isn't it, gentlemen, that scientists are creating food rather than eating the food God created, you know, because, right. You know, when you eat something in nature, there's a signal that you're full, right? You can't overeat, again, natural foods, it's very, very hard to overeat them. You know, people cannot overeat, for instance, a ribeye steak. When the body gets a signal, it's done. You could not put another piece in your mouth if you wanted to. The body registers the protein, the fat, and the body says, I'm done, right? And there's a sense of fullness and enjoyment and satisfaction where we all know, listen, I'm a tortilla chip girl, right? That stuff is like, you know, crack for some people, right? You can't have one because they have designed it that you won't have one. But then we go back into this whole blood glucose thing and then the way it affects our thyroid. And so, gentlemen, I don't think you know this about me, but I'm not advocating this for everybody. I'm just going to put it out there because many haven't heard about it. But my husband and I actually eat a carnivore lifestyle. Now, what that means, listener, is we are predominantly animal based, that, you know, we don't eat starchy carbs. Now, the reason I'm sharing that is because some people's health is so in such a poor place that keto, which is, you know, low carbs, like back to what Joseph mentioned, there can be some healthier carbs. But if you have a very sick system, if your body's talking to you, like Joseph was talking about, sometimes going no starchy carbs so that the blood glucose can come down, right? Back to the whole insulin thing. It can really help a person. Now, I mention this because I have autoimmunity. However, it's in check. I had such a serious autoimmunity condition that if I ate anything from the nightshade family, and it was progressive, just like Kevin mentioned, over time, I nearly needed to be hospitalized. And it was very, very serious. And since I couldn't trust that even going to a restaurant that they would not put paprika or have soaked it in something that had a nightshade in it, which many times, you know, you go through all that stuff and they go, no, it's not. And then, you know, you wake up with the raging autoimmunity flare the next day. So I went carnivore for 1 year. And what I have to tell you, gentlemen, is, you know, I wasn't perfect. I was probably 95% carnivore. But a year later, I just wanted to see. I had a lot of healing in my body outside of what I'm going to share with you. But my autoimmunity to that issue of nightshades is gone. My body literally healed. Why? Because I stopped eating the things that were triggering for me illness. And I focused on eating meat. You know, I had ribeye steak. I had chicken. I had fish. It's all the stuff that was animal-based. And not really butter and stuff because I don't do as well with them. But I just want to say to the listener, what's a balanced diet for you might be different for your next-door neighbor. And for me, a balanced diet wasn't helping me with my autoimmunity issue. And so I have to remember sometimes, gentlemen, I still have autoimmunity. It's just that I have it in check now because of the way that I choose to eat. So again, I'm not saying to anybody that they should go carnivore, but I am saying that you should check it out And if you are having things like constant migraines or any kind of autoimmunity issue, just begin to do some research, you know, because listen, our government, what about 2 or 3 years ago, came out and said cereal was healthier than eggs. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that we could all agree that my ancestors 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 500 years, they were not eating cereal to thrive. They were eating eggs and bacon and meat. They were eating, right, what our ancestors had been eating for really, you know, thousands of years. I'm a creationist, so I don't believe in the million and billion and trillion years ago. I don't buy that. I don't accept it. I'm a creationist, and I believe that we did not live in caves. I believe that we were created in a garden, and humans were very, very creative and smart, because if you look at the scriptures, they were building incredible cities and, you know, stuff. Uh-huh. So when I say, listener, when I talk about ancestors, I'm not talking about the monkeys. We didn't come from the monkeys. We were made in the image and the likeness of God. But what our ancestors ate up to, say, 10,000 years ago is they were eating animals, okay, at least after the flood. Jesus, you know, you would say God said to Moses, kill and eat. So I don't know what happened, but that was Moses. Did I say that? Noah's call. Sorry about that. Noah's call to kill and eat once the flood had settled. So I just throw that out there for somebody that might be helpful, that's dealing with a severe autoimmunity, as I was.
Laura, thank you. This is the second time I've heard you mention ribeyes in a few podcasts. So I was thinking, well, while I don't have the authorization to invite everybody over to your house for the next cookout, because I'm sure you'd have nothing but meat, I might have, if I'm down in your area, I might have to kind of come by and enjoy some ribeye or something like that. Yeah. And
you and Joseph both, come on, I'll fix you a big old barbecue. Nice.
And you might be delighted to know that we have 3 lambs. As many of our audience know, we have some lambs on our farm. We have 3 that we're going to harvest next March. So I don't know how many pounds that's going to be, but we'll have to send you a gift. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I had some bad blood glucose results towards beginning of, well, maybe late November. And I knew I had diabetes, but I was being hard-headed. But one of the things that I did to correct my situation, because I want to live many more years, I want to be with my grandchildren and develop this farm and just all the hobbies that I now have. And I quit eating bread at the store because our breads are atrocious. Our forefathers ate 100% grain or barley or something instead of all these ingredients that you had to have a PhD to pronounce. I mean, if we can't pronounce it, we probably shouldn't be eating it.
Right.
As far as the ingredients. And so and the way meat costs are now, you know, you'd have to get a part time job to afford hamburger meat. So we tend to process our own here because there's value in seeing, I don't know, it's just value in having grass fed animals instead of eating meats that perhaps are the steroids have been introduced. And we would be absolutely shocked if we knew what our cattle are eating these days, things that they weren't meant to eat, and just to bulk them up. But you know, that's good stuff, Laura. And even our vegetables and so on are even genetically modified, that they are taking away from God's creation. And I don't think it's by accident, but it takes a little extra effort, but it's definitely worth it. Probably if one would straighten out even their diet within a short order, that we would have more energy, we would have more clarity of mind, just all kinds of things. And there's wisdom in what our forefathers used to teach us. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. That stuff is still true. And I'm not putting a plug out there for the apple growers, but, you know, there's just good old-fashioned wisdom that our forefathers had before all this processed nonsense that we have to consume now.
Well, I do want to say before Joseph kicks into that, but I want to say that as a carnivore, I buy grass-fed, grass-finished beef at about $5 to $6 a pound. Now, if anybody has done any shopping for vegetables, and I'm not opposed to anybody buying vegetables or boxed goods. However, when you compare apples to apples, We're spending way more than $5 a pound, especially on the crap food. In fact, I have figured it out sometimes. Yeah, you're buying a box of crackers, let's say, for $3, but it's 3 ounces.
Right.
So when you do the $4 for 3 ounces, you, a lot of times, honestly, listener, you're paying $15 to $20. You're paying more for that box that has no nutrition in it, that will still leave you hungry. You could have went and bought a ribeye. And so there are cuts of meat, and I agree that not conventional is not always our best choice. However, you know, if you look for good cuts of meat, listener, you know, I think if you really compare what you're paying at the grocery store for, let's just stick with the boxed stuff, right? Not the natural stuff that grows from the earth, right? You're going to find you're paying so much a pound that it's shocking. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for instance, I make my own beef jerky sometimes. You know why? Because, gentlemen, I have figured out it's like $40 a pound if I buy the bag. $40 a pound. I'll make it myself. So I wanted to throw that before we moved on to another conversation, Joseph.
Yeah.
I love beef jerky.
Oh, yeah, me too. I like meat. But I want to pivot just a little bit, and from what we eat to fasting.
Ooh.
And because I think there is something to fasting that our society in general has gone away from. I think a majority of our human history, fasting was mostly it was mostly something that was, I'm looking for the anti-answer to that. It was involuntary. Okay.
Yes.
Food was scarce. Yeah. And so we would eat when we could, we would eat what we could find. And there were times where we had to fast. And I think God designed our bodies to have fasting in mind for our health benefit. And it's possible that with the plenty that we have today, with the ability to not run out of food, to be able to store food longer, we're fighting our own system from something that we were designed to do, and it's affecting our mental health. And so I'll tell you what I do. I started this about, I want to say 6 years ago. I decided to stop eating breakfast. Now, I'm going to say this, consult a doctor. Don't do anything, you know, that I'm going to say and go, that's what I need to do. You know, this is just what I'm doing. And the other thing that I do is I stop eating before 7 o'clock.
That's good. Yep.
I try to have dinner for the family around 5 p.m. Now, some of you guys, that's going to be a chore. That's going to be very difficult. I work from home, and so I have the ability to make dinner and have it ready around 5. And then I try my best. I fail, but I try my best to not eat anything after 7 p.m. I try to stop eating around 5:30. Or 6 o'clock, but 7 o'clock is where I want to stop, because I want to go not just 12 hours, but sometimes up to 16 or 18 hours before I start eating again. And so it's typically around lunchtime. It'll be late, you know, late morning or early afternoon before I start eating again. And when you first start doing it, what happens is your body starts to freak out. Like, oh no, something's different. You know, your body's, what you teach your body to do will, your body will get used to. And if anything changes, your body goes, whoa, hold on. What's going on? You did something different and we don't like it right now. But just like you can train your body to eat and have that be normal, you can actually train your body to fast and have that be normal too. So I've noticed that I have energy. I notice that I'm not gaining weight. I'm staying within the threshold I want to be. I actually want to be 20 pounds lighter, but sometimes our body is like, oh no, I need to store up because I know that we're going to start fasting. Or, you know, and so, and then also making sure that my portions are not, I'm not going for seconds and thirds. I'm not trying to clean out the dish so that I don't have to put it away, or I'm not eating so that I could feel better.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing is we're training ourselves that if I don't feel good, I need to eat something. And if I'm eating something, then I'm storing that away. And go back to our glucose. Our glucose is going to go up or it's going to go down based on how we're eating. And we can go over the threshold or we could go under the threshold. And both of those are not good. And so I think there's something to fasting that we need to start looking at in consultation with a doctor so that we can get our bodies at a level that can handle some of the foods that we have. Because I'm going to guarantee you that as somebody's listening to this going, I don't have a farm. I don't have the ability to source the types of foods I need, or I don't have the time to prepare things the way that I should be doing. And so I need to be able to find a way to sort of balance that out. And if I can find the good foods, if I can avoid the bad ones, I want to work my way there. But some people go, oh, I'm here. I need to get all the way over there right now. It's like, no, start working that way. Same thing with fasting. Don't go cold turkey and just go, I'm not going to eat because you're going to freak out. Start with the one step at a time. Take a baby step and move from where you are to where you want to be.
That is so good. I'm so glad you brought up intermittent fasting and fasting itself. So, gentlemen, we always love to leave our listeners with some takeaways, right? So I'd love to hear what you gentlemen would like to leave with the listener, some one or two very important things, you know, that if they don't hear anything else, you know, what you think could bring transformation to their health. I first want to say thank you to the both of you. You always are educating, and I'm always learning from the both of you. And I love that you just give this knowledge that you've spent decades learning. You give it away and you give it freely. Well, I'm going to say to the listener, I really encourage you to get the glucose monitors, whether it's the finger prick or the continuous glucose monitor, which I would more highly recommend so that you can see over the whole day, like how your body is responding. So that would be my one that I would highly encourage you. And then the second would be really what the guys have talked about, what I've talked about, but get off the processed food. It is destroying our health, and I believe it is destroying our nation from the inside out. So that would be my takeaways for the listener. What about you, Kevin?
Well, I want to just comment briefly on the fasting and then give a couple of takeaways. There's a lot of good studies out there that suggest that fasting is definitely beneficial. There are some studies out there that, and of course, a person just can't jump out of the blocks and fast for 3 days. Joseph, you made that very clear to work your way up, and it's a process. But, you know, a lot of anxiety is related to our gut health and so on. And I'm not an expert with gut health, but there are studies that show that fasting for 3 days, it doesn't mean completely without water or perhaps food, but you need to drink. And as Joseph said, see your doctor, but that it resets our gut health. So that if there's anything with your anxiety that's related to your gut health, that's going to reset it and you'll feel a lot better. And it probably needs to be a regular thing, whether the regular 3 day fast is every couple months or whatever. What I would like to leave with the audience is if you have an anxiety or depression problem, The grounding techniques, getting back to nature, taking the walks. If you're sitting outside in a lounge chair, pull your sandals or your shoes off and just let them rest on the dirt. And then also go see a physician, have a blood check, so to speak, or a blood test. So to check for your blood glucose levels, to check for any other deficiencies. You could have a vitamin deficiency. You could have anemia. You could have any number of things that can be corrected with a simple physical intervention from your physician. And so, and also make sure your complete thyroid testing is being accomplished, not just one or two phases of that, but a complete panel with the thyroid. And if there's anything physiological that's contributing to what appears to be a mental health problem or an emotional health problem, then I'm sure it can be discovered. And there's so many other things neurologically that we can talk about next time or the time after in terms of what could be contributing to your feelings of anxiety, depression, feeling down, and so on. But certainly get the checkups.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I want to say thanks, Laura, for, you know, bringing up this subject because it's very important. This helps me when I am talking with clients because I need to make sure that they are taking care of themselves physically. I think we all need to reevaluate our what's coming into us, but also what's coming out of us. And because we are affected. If it's something that is affecting us physically and is contributing to our mental health, we need to take responsibility for it. So consult a doctor. Don't take everything we say as gospel and do your own research. Make sure, because you're unique. I'm different from Laura and I'm different from Kevin, and all of us are different from each other. One size does not fit all. So we have to make sure that we know our own body, just like my vehicles. I know my vehicles. If I'm driving down the road and I hear something, we go, ho, ho, ho. All right, let's figure out what that is. But there's some people, they just turn up the radio and then the wheels fall off and they go, I never saw that coming. Well, yeah, because you decided to ignore the warning signs. Some of you guys are walking around right now with these blaring warning signs going off and you're like, well, I'm just going to either eat this or take this, or I'm going to turn up the music. And then when the wheels fall off, you're left going, I don't know how this could have happened. And it's like, yeah, actually you did. You just chose to ignore it. So I want you guys to stop ignoring the warning signs. Start to figure yourself out. You have to figure yourself out before you can start working on somebody else. It goes back to those troubleshooting skills that I learned years and years ago. If I start trying to fight the things that are outside away from the source to try to fix the source of the problem, I'm going to be chasing my tail. I'm going to waste time. I'm going to waste other people's time and effort and money. We start with the source and start to work our way out. And so that means starting with ourselves, whether it's our physical health, whether it's our mental health, or whether it's our spiritual health. And so typically I have like a scripture verse to say, but I don't really have anything right now, but I want to encourage you guys to get into God's word. I want you guys to be in fellowship with others and find a Bible believing church. And if you need help, reach out to us. And then next time now we're talking about food, we have some other things I think we're going to hit on is it's getting out into nature and what are some of those things that we need to do. So come back ready to listen to what we have, and we'll be able to go through there and come up with checklists, come up with a diagnostic type sheet for our lives so that we can start to figure out our mental health. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.